If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Let's welcome in Jonathan Moxie, defensive back for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, for a special episode of the Three Down Nation podcast. Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for having me. I'm happy to be online with you guys right now.
Well, we appreciate it. Where are you joining us from?
Man, you know, I'm a South Florida guy, so home is West Palm Beach, Florida. So I know it's a long way from Winnipeg, but I'm still excited about it.
Well, we know that you've been in the CFL for many years, started with the Calgary Stampeders back in 2019, West Division All-Star in 2022, spent the last 2 years in Hamilton, of course, joining the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in free agency in February. I'd love to know, Jonathan, what was the decision-making factor for you? Why were the Blue Bombers the right team for you to join for 2026?
Man, first and foremost, they show interest, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know what I'm saying, it feels good to be wanted. It's not their first time reaching out to me, so, you know, I took that into account as well. I like their scheme. I like the attitude that their defense plays with, and they had a need at corner. So I'm going to go out there, I'm going to compete and help that defense become an even better defense than they already were, because they was already good last year, so hopefully that can help bolster that secondary.
I was looking at the Bombers roster today, and I can't think of a single player on the team who you would have played with in Calgary or in Hamilton. But if there's somebody you can think of, first of all, please correct me. But also, I know one of the things that the team does is they try to recruit free agents, you know, using guys on the team. You'll hear guys like Willie Jefferson reaching out to people, Zach Kolaris, Nick Dembski, et cetera. I'm curious, what connections do you have to the team? And if you don't have any, who were maybe some of the players who reached out to you during the free agent window?
I didn't have to be like recruited. I kind of already knew about the organization. You know, they had already signed Tim White over from Hamilton earlier after he was released from the team. Old teammate of mine from Calgary was Michael Griffin, predominantly a special teamer, but he's very gifted and he's able to play in the secondary as well. He started a few games for them in the secondary, so he's still trying to find his footing, but I think he's going to have a good year. And then, you know, just playing against the guys, like playing against Zach for the last 5 years and Willie for the last, you know what I'm saying, for the last five, six, 7 years. I talk to these guys after the game. It's always good sportsmanship, so like I said, they're a tight knit group. You don't make it to five consecutive Grey Cups for no reason. I'm just happy to be a part of it, and you know what I'm saying, and try to make that defense an even better group than they were last year.
You mentioned you're a South Florida guy. I'd imagine training in the off season, you must be around some other professional players or any CFL guys.
Not so much. Every now and then I pop out, might go to a few gyms down south, like with my personal trainer and everything. But the most of the time I get a lot of work in on my own. The CFL game is a lot different than the NFL game, so we have to run a bit more. And also the off seasons, they conflict. My friends that are in the NFL, you know, they have OTAs. Not too many CFL guys where I am, so I just go with the ebbs and flows. I work out with a couple of D1 FBS guys, and I make it work.
You mentioned one of the reasons that you wanted to sign in Winnipeg was the system. And like, I've talked to Retta Cramdy about the system, who's a big leader on the defense, a few other guys. And, you know, it's a bit of a different or a bit of a niche system was the word that Retta used. Obviously, Jordan Younger, former defensive back himself, he loves to drop nine. What about that scheme was it that appealed to you?
Man, I think it's DB friendly. And I think it benefits players that have a lot of snaps. It allows you to be yourself within the scheme of the defense. As long as you're wise and you're good at reading routes and understanding concepts in CFL football, then you can have success in that system. Like I said, as long as you're yourself and you play within the scheme, then you can find personal success, and personal success usually leads to team success. So I'm excited about it, and I like the way that JY, he talks football, and his defensive philosophies, from what I've heard from everybody, have all been positive.
You started your career with the Stampeders at corner, and when you first got to Steeltown with the Tiger Cats, you played some strong side linebacker under Chris Jones. You moved back to corner in 2025. And we'll get into the Tiger Cats defense a little bit more, but I'm curious how you felt going between corner to Sam and back to corner, if maybe that experience at Sam changed anything for you at the cornerback position.
Honestly, to it helped me grow as a player. I got did dirty by Calgary at the time, so a lot of guys would have just hung up the cleats, but I wasn't going to let the decisions of one person be a direct reflection of my career. I'm better than that, and I wasn't going to let anybody take that away from me. I'm a hard worker. I'm a team first guy. So when Hamilton approached me with that opportunity to be a team first guy and be selfless, of course I was there to be a part of an organization that said, you know what, this guy can play football and I know he could do it. So they gave me the opportunity to come in and play a little nickel, a little sandbacker, pass situations. And I stepped in and I did that at a high level when they asked me to. And it honestly, I was already playing multiple spots, halfback and corner, and a little bit of wheelbacker at Calgary. But when I got to Steeltown and they gave me that opportunity, it just made me a better player. I was able to see the game from different lenses and understand what the guys around me are doing. And it's just continued to help me in 2025 when I moved back to corner. I was able to get a better feel of the spacing and understand what those guys might be feeling when they're in other situations as well.
What about your departure from Calgary made it feel like they did you dirty?
It wasn't right. If you ask other players on the team, they'll tell you about it. I don't want to get into it, but I'm still grateful for everything that organization did for me. But yeah, no comment going further on that.
All good. I had to ask. Speaking of Hamilton, did they try to retain you? What was the window like? Like you said, the Bombers showed a lot of interest, but I'm curious to know how many other teams made a push.
Yeah, you know, Hamilton wanted me back. They had priorities, like most general managers do. I know they might be splitting those duties in Hamilton right now, but, you know, they had their priorities. They had to pay guys what they needed to pay them. So negotiations move slow. And as that happens, the window approaches. And when the window approaches, other teams start calling. And you got to make the best business decision first and foremost for you and your family. So that's what I had to go do.
The Tiger Cats led the CFL with 44 takeaways in 2025. The Bombers were middle of the pack, tied for fifth with 34. I'm curious, in your opinion, why did the Tiger Cats have so much success generating takeaways in 25? And how do you hope maybe the Bombers are able to increase that number in 2026?
Man, I think with Hamilton, we just had so much unity on the defensive side of the ball. It started up front with the pass rush. Hauser did a really good job. So did Casey Sells. We had a lot of young guys come in there and compete, like Osai and Kendricks, along with Miles Fox, who came from Winnipeg. Those guys did a fantastic job up front. And then we had young guys that were flying around tackling. So it made it a lot easier for the secondary to just play more relaxed, knowing that those guys were going to do what they were going to do up front. And then we had a lot of veterans in the back end between myself and Amos, who spent time in Calgary together. Petey, Jamal, he played in that same system, even though he hadn't coached under Monson. And Stavros, being a veteran back there with a lot of CFL snaps under his belt from university all the way to the CFL. I think we just had a group that just flew around, you know what I mean? And we played with high energy and we took advantage of the opportunities that came our way. I think with Winnipeg, I don't see it slowing down for them. Just because they finished middle of the pack in 1 year doesn't mean that the next year we can't be right at the top. I've seen them in previous years have lead the leagues in sacks and interceptions. It was just one of those years for them where they had, you know, injuries on their roster. They're always a good team. They're always competitive. So I expect nothing less when I get there, and I expect to help them take it up a notch.
You've played 82 regular season games over six CFL seasons, and you've mentioned how, you know, the veteran experience in Hamilton was key to getting those takeaways. You've talked about, you know, how experience is so beneficial for Winnipeg's defensive system with Jordan Younger running that part of the ball. I'm curious, relative to when you came in as a CFL rookie in 2019 to the player you are now, how specifically have you improved and how has that helped you be successful over a long career in Canada?
That's a great question. Honestly, of course, from 2019 to 2026, you don't get faster or stronger or quicker. As you age, so does the body. You know what I'm saying? But my mind has gotten sharper. Playing that many snaps has given me the ability to see so much. You get a feel for the speed of the game. You get a feel for the spacing and the concepts that you can anticipate. And at the end of the day, if you can do that, football is 90% mental, only 10% physical. So if I could be smarter than the guy across from me, if I could anticipate what that offensive coordinator might do, then I'm always putting myself in an advantageous position where I can help the defense and help this team win games. So I think that's how I got better. Basically, just playing more football and getting those reps under my belt.
One of the things that you hear people say, and I'm curious for your take on this, is, you know, guys coming up from the States, maybe corner is easier than half, or corner is easier than Sam or nickel or dime, whatever you want to call it. And the reason being, you know, maybe it's a little bit more like the four down game where you've still got a sideline, right? The spacing is a little more consistent to what you'd see down south. I'm curious, in your opinion, do you feel like corner is easier to learn in the CFL coming from the States, or is there no difference between corner and half?
It's probably easier to learn, not necessarily easier to play. You got to work on the spacing of the game. The field is a lot wider. The field is a lot longer. They still have the waggle. Halfback spots are harder to play, but that's why, you know, like a lot of times those guys are playing deep. You know what I'm saying? They don't have to always be in man coverage, but corners, you could get isolated a lot easier in the CFL. So I wouldn't say one is easier than the other. I typically just say it all depends on your skill set. And the more versatile that you are, the better off you are.
As someone who has played many games at Princess Auto Stadium in Winnipeg, but always as a visiting defender, you haven't necessarily had to deal with the noise, right? It's the loudest building in the CFL coming off a sold-out season. Now you're going to be a full-time starter on this Blue Bombers defense. And as you know, the fans are going to be making ear-splitting noise every time you step on the field to try to throw off opposing offenses. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, man, I can't wait to hear it. Every time I was there, it was definitely electric. Whenever you'd be on the sideline, you're like, man, these fans are loud. Or whether it's that or they're heckling you while you're walking through the tunnel. So huge support system. I think you can feel it coming right off the bus whenever you're visiting. So it'll be a good thing to have those fans on my side this year.
You mentioned the fans heckling, and I'm sure, you know, maybe it would have been a little worse if you came in as a member of the Riders than if you came in with the Stamps or the Tiger Cats. But I'm curious, in your opinion, where do the Bombers stack up in terms of heckling from the fans relative to maybe some of the other CFL cities?
Is that a trick question? Like, I feel like you're trying to get me in trouble, but
you can answer it however you like.
We're going Bombers, baby. Hey, best fans in the league right now. As long as they're cheering for me, that's my type of fans.
No, I more meant like coming in as a visitor. Do Winnipeg fans give you a harder time than other CFL cities? I've heard some cities are worse than Winnipeg, but I'm not a CFL player.
Oh, I would say, you mean as a visitor. I see
as
what
a
you
visitor,
mean.
That's what I mean.
As a visitor, I definitely go, I put a tie between Sask and Winnipeg, and I throw Hamilton as third place for sure.
Okay. Well, hopefully the heckles, you know, I mean, I'm sure they weren't all totally respectful, but hopefully none of them crossed the line. You don't want anybody crossing the line. Anyway, thank you so much, Jonathan, for your time. We really appreciate it. And, you know, I we're looking forward to seeing what you're able to do in 2026. And, you know, we're in the middle of March now. We're going to wake up and training camp's going to be right around the corner. So thanks very much for doing this.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.